welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart in the hosting chair, as always, joined by a fine panel once again for this week's show. We've got Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders, and of course from Unibet, no Ed Nicholson this weekend, but Brett Williams is back. Brett, good to have you on.
Yeah, we've got the super sub, haven't we, today? No, delighted to be on the show this afternoon to look on what's a good weekend, actually. Often sort of this time of year, a couple of weeks before Cheltenham, the racing's just a little bit mediocre, but actually I think, you know, we've got some good racing, also the Winter Derby as well from now at Sudlow. But I think that the ground is obviously going to play quite a key part. I'm about 15 minutes from Warwick. That's already off for tomorrow. And the rain is just continuing to fall around me now. So I think for the Eider at Newcastle, you know, you're going to need horses that stay the trip, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, like Brett says, we've got flat racing action at Southall to look at later on the show, but we've also got Kempton and Newcastle to look ahead to. So eight races in total on ITV. And we're going to get stuck straight in with the 1:15 at Kempton, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 mile 5 furlongs. And Unibet's pricing at the time of the recording have Largy Poet as the 5-1 favourite. Joker Demai is 13-2, 7-1 about Sea Invasion. Pentland Hills is 8-1, 10-1 about Lord of Cheshire, 11-1 and bigger about the rest of the field. And Brett, I'll start with you on this one because we have some offers here.
Yeah, so if you back the second or the third in this race, we will be giving you your money back as cash, and we're also paying four places each way. So unibet.co.uk, go on to there to avail to those offers. In what's, you know, a good little race, isn't it? I can see why Largy Poet is the favourite. He's obviously quite a progressive horse, unexposed from the Paul Nicholls stable, obviously improved for the step up in trip last time, and I suppose we'll find out in due course whether a handicap mark of 1.27 is workable, or, you know, could be even better than that. You know, Nick Henson's got three runners in it, Dan Skelton's got three runners in it, Paul Nicholls has got the favourite, so he's got the proper jump trainers represented in this. Good little race. I think Joker Demise is another one I think we should throw into the mix as well, another one who's stepping up in trip, but again, could be anything really, quite an interesting contender. And then he said you've got the three from Nicky's Yard, Fantastic Lady, Noah Audrey Joe. I think Pennant Hill's in there as well, isn't he? Mm. Fantastic Lady back over hurdles. She's entered the Mayor's Chase at the festival. So whether this is going to be a stepping stone for that, who knows? I wouldn't think she'll handle the conditions as well. They're going to be quite tested. But no, I think Largy Poet's a worthy favourite. And I think it's definitely one they've all got to catch.
Okay, Largy Poet, Cobden and Nicholls to kick off the show for Brett Williams. Robbie Wilders, I come to you. Hope all is well, sir. But who do you like?
Hello, mate. Opener? Yeah, keep him well. Yeah, I quite like Sea Invasion now. I think Sea Invasion's a bet. He was only beaten two lengths by Slade Steele in his point to point. And that horse is the second favourite behind Ballyburn for the Bear and Bingham. I like horses who've gone off a short price for bumpers and then sort of improved a little bit through hurdles before they get a handicap mark. And he won a favourite for his bumper at Fontwell, beaten by Court in the Act. And he's making his handicap over 114. He wasn't beaten that far by Jericho de Repenay at Newbury in December. And the form of his recent Kempton fourth on Boxing Day is working out really well. The second and third have both won quite easily since. So I think with Rick Stingle doing 10 stone 2, I think Sea Invasion could be on quite a good mark for Chris Gordon.
Okay, Sea Invasion currently 7-1 with Unibet. I think Chris Gordon could be in for a good Saturday at Kempton, actually. And Johnny Pearson, welcome to the show. Who are you with in the 1:15?
My first one I'd add on my list is also Sea Invasion, but I do have concerns about what the ground's going to be like. I'm about half an hour from Kempton and all it's done is bucket down the rain all day. Mm. And I mean, you've got to go back to 2015 to get a renewal of this, this meeting where there's not good in the description. So I think you're going to get a lot of horses, as you can see from the form of those who are entered, are much better on or have much more form on better surfaces than but not. But as Robbie said, his form, especially of his Kempton run last time out, has worked out pretty well. And he's got to have a good chance on handicap debut. A couple of others caught the eye as well. No Ordinary Joe is one for Nicky Henderson. Obviously, if you go back to Cheltenham in March last year, that form behind him, Rocco, at the festival looks rock solid. And then Lord of Cheshire for the Twiston Davis Yard was running okay at Sandown last time before falling at the last, wasn't far off the lead at that point. And if none the worse, can improve on that to have a good chance here. And he's, with conditions how they're going to be, is one who might handle it better than most.
Hey, No Ordinary Joe, currently double figure price for Unibet, 12-1, and remember you get those extra places and also money back if second or third. That's live from 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Do remember that, check unibet.co.uk out for all the conditions there. Moving on to the 150 then, it's Grade 2 galore at Kempton. It's the Adonis Juvenile Hurdle over 2 miles, and the exciting Khalif de Burleigh tops the market as the 6-5 on favourite with Unibet. Gimme 5 is 100-30. Peking Opera 7-1. Captain Marvelous 8-1. Swift Hawk is 17-2. And the outside of the lot is Tarantino at 66-1. Johnny Pearson, kick us off here.
This is, you know, not the most easy race to find your winner. You know, there's very few runs over hurdles to pick from. Khalif de Burleigh is carrying a penalty which might end up working against him, because I don't think there's much between his form and that of Give Me Five for Harry Derham, who obviously is a big, you know, won by some distance at Warwick on his latest run, and that was on soft ground. And I think at the prices, there's not going to be much in it between the two, and I'd much rather be with Give Me Five.
Okay, Give Me Five, yeah, for the Harry Derham stable. Robbie Wilders, there's been a fair bit of debate over the £5 penalty that Khalif de Burleigh has to carry, but can he overcome it?
Yeah, I thought that seemed harsh, for sure. He can overcome it, but I think I'd rather back Peking Opera at 7-1, to be honest. I mean, he was rated between about £40 higher than Give Me Five on the flat. He's not had as much chance to show how good he is over hurdles yet. Give Me Five took a massive leap forward from first to second start when winning at Warwick. Then I could see Peking Opera doing something different. If it is testing ground as well, he's got two very good RPRs on soft ground on the flat. I mean, this is also finished fourth in the Irish Derby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could see plenty of money coming for Peking Opera, so I think he's got to be the bet.
Yeah, Gary Moore obtaining this horse from Aidan O'Brien, had one run at Sandown. Bit workmanlike, but you know this horse will come on for that run, and 7-1 might be big about Peking Opera. Brett Williams, who are you going to be with in the 150?
Do you know what? It's a cracking race, isn't it? It's got a good roll of honour as well. I think the Binocular won this a few years ago, so it's a race that does throw up sort of future superstars. And you know, when you initially look at it, you think Khalif de Burleigh is the one to be on, and then you sort of look into the form a little bit more, and you think, well, actually, you know, Give Me Five's got a good squeak, and as has as the Gary Moore horse. I mean, Gary's absolutely fine, isn't he, at the minute? I think he's 26% strike rate or something at the moment. And obviously, on flat form, Peking Opera is the one head and shoulders above the other two, but obviously, I know he did win on soft ground at Nace in the listed race, but flat soft ground and jumping soft ground is going to be, you know, completely different. But at least, you know, there is some positive in his way. We've seen a lot of support for Khalif de Burleigh. Was odds against now into odds on. If you think, I mean, it's going to be hard for anything to beat Sergino in the trial, but if you think he's a horse who could give him something to think about, we're 25-1. For Khalif de Burleigh to win the Triumph Hurdle. If he wins this and wins it well, I'd expect we'll just, you know, shorten him up a little bit. If you fancy Give Me Five for the Triumph, 33-1, the same price for Peking Opera. I think the most realistic winner is Khalif de Burleigh, but he's plenty short enough for me. I'm going to go for the Gary Moore rider, primarily just because they are in such good form and the horse has got at least some sort of form on soft ground on the flat.
Yeah, always enjoy it when Gary Moore's in good form. Peking Opera's around 7-1, liked by both Robbie and Brett. The 227 then is the Pendle Novices Chase, another Grade 2 over 2.5 miles, where Blow Your Wad is currently topping the market 11-4. Le Patron for the Gary Moore yard is 100-30. Tamuras is 7-2. Arclight is 4-1. Pembroke is 9-2. And Soul Icon is 18-1. This is tough, Robbie.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's been made easier with Nickelback not
That's
running,
true.
I'd say. I had a couple of anti-post bets in this each way with the I thought the field might cut up a bit, as thankfully. Blow Your Wad is interesting for me. Tom Lacey's fit and first time cheek pieces to him. I'm not sure he was in love with Cheltenham last time. He was sent off second favourite behind Ginny's Destiny, who's obviously favourite for the Turners at the Cheltenham Festival. You go back to his course and distance win on Boxing Day, he looked a horse well ahead of his mark there. And off a mark in the 140s, getting weight from the penalised runners, this probably won't take as much winning as it might have done in years gone by. The other bet I've had is Arclight. And now she's actually just had her form frank today by Marsh Wren, who she beat quite easily at Wincannon winning at Furless. Gets a lot of weight from the penalised horses. She looks a very, very sort of progressive performer. Got a flat pedigree, but she jumps really nicely. Kempton should be a good track for her. So I think those two are probably the two to beat, and I'm quite happy with my position.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, remember Robbie's anti-postman email goes out every week on a Tuesday. Certainly worth keeping an eye on that. Subscribe to that because Robbie puts up plenty of winners and the prices do shorten fairly quickly nowadays. Brett, who do you like in the Pendle?
It is tricky, isn't it? Blow Your Wad is the obvious one. It's certainly the cheap piece on for the first time as well. The Patcham was obviously quite disappointing last time. It's never seemed to get into it. They made a few mistakes and... But if you just draw a line through that, you know, he hoped to Blow Your Wad on form from a Sandown win and back in the earlier part of the season. So there's plenty of cases to be made from Le Patron if he can bounce back from a disappointing run. I'm interested to hear the thoughts there on Arclight. We were at some lunch yesterday with Nikki Henderson and he said this filly, although she won on soft ground at Wincanton, it's going to be very, very testing at Kempton. So he's not quite convinced that she will handle the ground conditions. But he has given her an entry in the Grand Annual. His only entry in that race course named in honour of his father, Johnny Henderson. So, you know, if she wins this, then that could be a target stepping back down in trip to 2 miles at the festival. But very tricky race. I think Le Patron, if he could get into a rhythm, jump better. He holds Blow Your Wad on form. So for me, Le Patron, if he can bounce back, another one for the Gary Moore D-line for it. Not a very inspiring choice.
Okay, Brett Williams sounding like Sam Hart on this week's show, tipping up Gary Moore horses for fun. Johnny Pearson, who do you like?
I mean, I was going through the race and you can quite easily make a case for every single one of the runners. You know, you go back to Le Patron winning at Sandown, Bigger Tamura, second last time at Exeter was, I think, very, very good form with Trelawney in behind and Crebley winning the race. But I don't like the fact that, you know, that was what, just 11 days ago. That sort of puts me off a bit there. Pembroke obviously won a race where he galloped everything into the mud at Aintree earlier in the season. And Arclight, as Robbie said, formed very much Frank today and should run another very good race. But I mean, it's not a race I'm going to have a bet on because I can make too good a case for all of them. And I'll just be going round in circles trying to sort of outsmart myself, which isn't the wisest thing to do a lot of the time.
Absolutely, yeah, no harm in not having a bet in these races. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is do make sure that you gamble responsibly. We move on to the 3 o'clock, then another Grade 2. It's the Dovecote Novices Hurdle over 2 miles, where lump sum for the Sam Thomas Yard, 13-8 favourite. We'll get Brett's thoughts on this in a second. Fiercely Proud, 100-30. Secret Squirrel, 5-1. Panjari, 6-1. Willie the Builder is 11-1. 12-1 about Helen Wynn. I think I've said that right. Ideywood is 16-1 and Fassol is 33-1 the outside of the field. Brett, we know that you're close with the Sam Thomas Yard. Have you got much to say about lump sum? What's been said?
Well, I know he's always held it in very high regard. I remember messaging him when it ran in a bumper at Bangor, it said, is it worth a bet? And I got sort of two thumbs up. So that's good. Obviously, he's very progressive, hasn't he, since then? He won his first couple of hurdles and ran well, stayed on really nicely behind Jericho Arepine in the Rosington main, wasn't it, at Doncaster, I think an extra from a couple of yards, and he may have just got up. That's pretty strong form. He's in the County and the Martin Pike, which is 20-1 with Unibet at this stage again. You know, he's not sure if that's where he's going to go, but if he wins that those prices are likely to shorten, so if those people want to go on anti-post, then maybe go on now. And this is one of our super boost races as well, so we are boosting the price of all of the runners in this race. So originally I was on lump sum, but then again, having a look at the form, I'm sort of turning my attention now to Panjari. I thought that was a very good effort at Cheltenham a couple of starts ago behind Go Dante and Dodgy the Great. Is it Go Dante or Little Dante? The Ollie Murphy was anyway. Those two both went out and ran really well in the Betfair at Newbury last week, finishing third and fourth. So that for me is quite strong form for Panjari. And that was a solid effort. Paul Nichols has won this race 5 times before, which is enough for me. So Panjari gets the nod for Brett.
Okay, Panjari for Brett then. Yeah, currently around the 6-1 mark with Unibet. And from one Nichols horse to another, because I know Johnny Pearson fancies a Nichols horse, but it isn't the one that Brett fancies, Johnny.
No, I quite like Fassol. It's obviously it was disappointing on his hurdle debut at Newbury. But be aware that Skelton horse who won the race has come out and won respectably at Lingfield since. But I think you sort of, you know, it was in January and Paul Nichols doesn't necessarily have the best strike rate in January. His first run for the yard, the fact that the horse has gone off 6-4 favourite means he must have been showing something at home. He was a bit concerned with how well the flat horses may take to their jumping, obviously. But he's got some very, very good flat form in France, on soft ground as well. And I think the market's massively overreacted to Harry Randler's debut, and I can see him definitely running into the places here, and I think 50-1 is far too big a price. I'm going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, massive prize fast on the outside of the field. But another Nichols runner, Lorcan Williams, taking the ride on this one here. So Fassel, fourth last time out, but around sort of the 33-1 mark with Unibet. Robbie Wilders, you can make the final case in the Dovecot.
Yeah, nice angle that, JP. I was just going to keep it simple and go for the lump sum. Just thought he shaped just as well as Jericho Repene did at Doncaster last time. It was a very slowly run race. He was last turning in. Jericho Repene never really got away from him. I thought that was a good run. He holds fiercely proud on that form. Just looks like an improver, and I could see him sort of winning this and then sort of going up enough in the weights to get in a sort of Martin Pipe and going quite well there. So yeah, I quite like this horse, lump sum.
Okay, lump sum, a vote for the favourite to finish things off in the 3 o'clock. Now we move on to the big handicap, the final race we're covering from Kempton, which is the 3:37. It's the Coral Trophy handicap chase over 3 miles. Class 1 Premier handicap, where Phlegmatic, last year's second, is 9-2. Lord Baddesley for the Chris Gornyard has said they could be in for a good time on Saturday, 6-1. Tweed Skirt, 13-2. Forward Plan, also 13-2. 7-1 about Blackjack Magic and Bow to Greatness. 9-1 about Al Dancer and Il Redotto. And we're looking at double figures bar these. A nice competitive handicap chase, Brett, and we are extra places.
Yeah, so if you want to bet with Unibet, we are paying 4 places each way in this. I used to really love this show, so I'm not sure if you were enough to remember Glory Victus when you won this, the novice. But this was always a cracking little race, you know, that used to be called the Racing Post Chases, which I'm sure you probably know. But no, a small field, which is quite unusual for this contest. You said you've got last year's second, Phlegmatic, who thinks £5 higher in the weights this time round, so he's got to pull something out of the bag. Captain Nordic, it's out the handicap, but there's tumble in the weights. I mean, I know Christian Williams' horses are always getting back, but, you know, I just don't know what to make about that. When the two best backed in at a Bow to Greatness. I like Al Dancer. That's the other horse that's been very well backed into 9-1 from 20s. I know that this race has been the target for Sam Thomas. He's got a 20% strike rate at Kempton. He won this race last year with Our Power for the Potters. And I think Al Dancer's got a cracking chance. He's very unexposed at this trip. He's only had 2 starts at it, albeit he's been beaten in both of them. But I just think 3 miles on a sort, albeit the ground's going to be testing, but 3 miles on a tighter track as opposed to the races when he ran over this trip at, I think it was Chepstow and Sandown and Chepstow, so sort of stiff tracks. So a tighter course. I know, as I said, he's been targeted at this. He's nicely weighted and a strong fancy for me, Al Dancer. Should handle the ground conditions as well.
Okay, Al Dancer, yeah. Carrying 12 stone, but Dylan Johnson obviously taking £5 off the horse. Really good chance, a good each way shout with those extra places for Brett. Robbie, I'm going to come to you next. It's interesting that Bow to Greatness has been well supported, but no surprise after Ben Paulin's form over the last 7 days.
Yeah, very much so. He was unlucky not to have a four-timer at Ascot last weekend, I thought. Really rate Ben Paulin as a trainer.
Yeah, he was like on the card there.
Bad. Was that, mate?
So that's the only horse that Ben Paulin's I actually backed at Ascot last week.
Was it? Yeah, nice. Same, to be fair, yeah. Agonising. I have also gone in on Bow to Greatness here. I was looking at him for the Swinley last week, potentially. He didn't go for that. Finished an interesting horse. He shaped pretty well behind Ginny's Destiny at Cheltenham. He got into a nice rhythm, jumped much better than he did at Newbury. And I just thought he probably wasn't quite right that day. I know Paulin's a very good target trainer, as like Sam Thomas is. And he's down to a mark just £1 above when he gave Midnight River a good race at Aintree. He should have more to offer than 3 miles. And Al Dancer, like Brett says, yeah, I really like him too. Dylan Johnston is a good booking. He'll help. He's the top weight burden. I was pleased to hear this has been the target. I assumed it was because obviously Thomas won it last year with our Power. And Al Dancer, he's had a couple of good runs this season. He was third in the old Roan at Aintree. Before, I thought he's never encountered ground quite like it was at Cheltenham last time behind Shake 'Em Up Harry. I don't think that was the day, but I think he can win off 1-5-2 with Johnston clamming 5 off, and I think you get 2 good runs for your money there.
Okay, yeah, Al Dancer, another mention for this horse, and Bow to Greatness, Ben Paulin in such great form at the moment, and he mentioned in his stable tour, I remember reading that this was a target for the season, and he is a great target trainer, like Robbie says. Johnny Pearson, you can finish us off with a selection in the Coral Trophy.
I'm also quite keen on Chance of Bout of Greatness here. He said it's sort of was mentioned that it was the target for him. I think they may have started later in the season than they wanted to originally, and the target subsequently changed. But I think since his reappearance at Newbury in December, this has been the plan for him. And I think the step up in trip's likely to suit. And he should go very well for a very informed yard at the moment. And another one right at the bottom of the betting is Unanswered Prayers for Chris Gordon. He's £1 better off than when against Phlegmatic, when he came down at the last Ascot in November. And yet, he's outside of the field. He's okay, the yard hadn't been in great form, but they've turned a corner with quite a few winners of late. And I think that Freddie Gordon claiming a useful five could really see some improvement from the horse, and he should be able to go closer.
Okay, yeah, another vote for the outside of the field, Unanswered Prayers, and also a good mention for Bow to Greatness, who I was considering napping this week. I'm not going to, but the guy's made a good case. I think he's got a right chance in the Coral Trophy. Right, we're going to be covering Newcastle and Southall shortly after this. We've now got free access for a limited time only to the Racing Post app features, some of the exclusive features, race replays, exclusive tips, and some of our great news pieces. So do check that out. Have a look at this. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. You've still got Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders and Brett Williams spinning you through the action on ITV this weekend. We now go to Newcastle for one race, which is the 208. It's the Ida Handicap Chase, just shy of 4.25 miles here. This is a race that usually I'd have Keith Melrose on this show for, but he's the biggest fan of this race. Robbie would know that. But Angler's Crack is the 3-1 favourite of Unibet, really short. Fenland Tigers 6-1. Gold Clermont is 7-1. Tommy Bow is 15-2. Flower of Scotland also 15-2. The Galloping Bear 8-1. Double figures and bigger about the rest of them. Robbie, I will come to you first on this one. You're going to take the place of Keith Melrose.
Thank you, mate. Yeah, and I'm taking that place, and I'm coming in and saying the Galloping Bear has got a right old chance here. Love the booking of Joe Anderson, £5 claimer. I thought he was really good on Mott Hill last weekend when he turned over bad that me and Brett were on at Ascot. And obviously that famous ride on Transmission at Plumpton. First ride for Ben Clark. I mean, I think we can assume this horse has been sort of laid out for this race. He was well clear of the third when second off this mark last year. The horse who beat him was, of course, Kitty's Light, who followed up in the Scottish National and Bet365 Gold Cup. Does look like this is the plan. He's well proven with carrying big weights. He's got a lot of form on testing grounds. He actually, he was the horse who lost the race in the stewards room, the Grand National Trial, when he beat Bristol the Mile on heavy. So I think any horse who can do that, beating Bristol on Haydock heavy, is a mudlark. I love the jockey booking. I think he's a cracking each way bet, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, really strong shout there. The Galloping Bear for Robbie Wilders in the Ida. Brett, I will go to you. We've got extra places. Those who want to bat the Galloping Bear each way, you've got an extra place.
Yeah, so four places each way in the Ida, which is probably a good job because this is going to be a war of attrition, is it? On heavy ground.
Yeah.
What, 4.25 miles on heavy ground. This is a race I will not be wanting to get involved in. I just look through the form and is there anything that just wants bottomless ground and just stays all day? I mean, I've narrowed it down to Christopher Wood. I thought ran well on his first start over sort of this long distance trip in the Edinburgh National Outside. That was a fair enough effort. He's been dropped a pound as well. And then right down at the bottom, another horse racing from out of the handicap, but Prince de Fauchu, who used to be with Sam Thomas actually, ran well last time behind the reopposing Fenland Tiger. Made a mistake as well, but did actually get done and stayed on quite nicely to finish his race well. You want something that's carrying a very, very low weight on this. As I said, I wouldn't be getting involved, but we are four places. But Prince de Fauchu and Christopher Wood are two that I would be quite interested in.
Okay, a couple of tentative selections there from Brett and Johnny Pearson. They're not going to finish at much of a speed here, Johnny.
No, but he doesn't like a good 4 mile slog on heavy ground. Just what everyone wants to spend their Saturday afternoon watching. I actually quite like the chances of Gold Clermont for Andy Irvine. The main concern is the step up in class here. But I think he's, you know, he's been running very well on staying trips on soft ground, which the three things that are going to be vital to this race. And I think he's got a really, really cracking chance here. And there's no reason he can't improve further. And he's going to be carrying a light weight, which I also think really should benefit.
Just one thing with Vanni Irvine as a trainer. A lot of his horses, Johnny, you'd probably say would be underbet. You'd have the bigger name trainers in there. You can sometimes find you get a bigger price about his horses.
No, completely. It's like, it's sort of like any smaller name, isn't it? You know, if he's trained by Willie Mullins, it'd be half that price, sort of thing. Exactly. So it's no bad thing to be going with the trainer. He's clearly horse has been in good form this season, so there's no reason to think that's going to be any different on the day. There's a couple of others I think are interesting, could run well. One of them's Flower of Scotland for Sandy Thompson. It was disappointing when returning in November, but his third behind Jet Legs in March is looking like a very strong piece of form. Jet Legs has won two races this season already, and he was racing second, and the winner of that race has also won. So that's a horse that could run well, but I think it does look like he's had some support already. And Easy Bucks, the right outsider of the field again, is one, I don't know quite know where he went to Ireland for one run. But he won well on that reappearance following a two-year layoff, or viewing it, whatever it was. And I think he probably just bounced last time in market race, and he could well outrun his price. Although I'm not, you know, that strong in him, I think he's overpriced.
Okay, there we go. So Gold Climber would be the main selection for Johnny Pearson. And Johnny's not going to really give us his thoughts on the all-weather action we're about to cover. I'm going to probably step in here and talk about this, as Johnny has an opinion where he quite likes the favourite in the Hever Sprint Stakes and Military Order in the Winter Derby, but not going to be having a bet. But we are going to cover the Hever Sprint Stakes next, the 2:45 there at Southwell. It's over 5 furlongs, a listed contest. And currently Clarendon House is even money with Unibet. Diligent Harry's 3-1. Then we take a jump to Thunder Bear, who's 17-2. Juan Le Pan is 12-1. Higher Mate, 14-1. 22-1. And bigger about the rest of the field. I think, really, Clarendon House is actually quite a fair price in here, in my opinion. Was fourth in the Blue Point Sprint Stakes out in Maidan last time out. And I often find that Maidan form gets underestimated when horses come back to the UK. We kind of found that with Morge when she went and won the 1,000 guineas last season. Robbie's probably smiling because I'm talking about Maidan. He absolutely knows that I love talking about it.
No, I was just smiling because I saw Lango walk past. That was it. I think he wants to use this meeting room.
Ah, right. Well, we can get Mark Langdon on the podcast talk about.
No, it's not a problem. Shout out to Lango. Yeah, please continue.
I'll carry on. Clarendon House fourth last time out in the Blue Point Sprint Stakes at Maidan. Then prior to that, actually ran over course and distance in quite a strong handicap, you'd have to say. At Southwell and won that in really good style. I have concerns over Diligent Harry. I know he won last time out in the Catchy Stakes at Lingfield, but I'm not sure I can fully trust him. I actually think Clarendon House should be a lot shorter than even money. I think it's a really, really good price, and I realistically think the first two should be the first two home, although it's a big field and there could be a shock. But Clarendon House for me. Brett, are you in agreement there?
To be honest, yeah, I agree with you. It definitely looks rose around Clarendon House and Clive Cox's run of Diligent Harry. I thought that was a decent run, though, in the Catchy Stakes. A decent return to action, first run back, I think, since was it September at last ran. So, you know, you could almost expect him to improve a little bit, although he is better over six. You know, 5 furlongs is just basically a little bit too sharp for him. I think he's had 3 runs over this trip. He has won once, but that was back in his 2-year-old days and beaten twice. But yeah, I think, you know, I remember a few years ago there were quite a few good stats for horses that ran over in Dubai and came back here, and they all just used to, they were banging in winners left, right and centre. So that's a good omen if you've been out there. They've got a bit of sun on their back, probably not going like these conditions out there tomorrow. But yeah, I think Clarendon House is the most realistic winner, but not badly priced like that around even money.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think this horse should be shorter. Does Robbie agree with me? Should this horse be shorter?
No, I think he's the right price because it is a sprint, after
all.
That's true. They'll beat each other, don't they? But, he probably should win. He won't be a bet for me, but he has got the form in the book. He's really good over course and distance. Won a handicap 105 here in December, and he's in top form. So he probably should win, but I won't be backing him, Sam.
Okay, let's move on then to the 3:20, which is the Winter Derby Stakes. First time this is being held at Southwell, over 1 mile, 3 furlongs. Lord North, top in the market at 6-4. Military Order is 85-40. Tyrrhenian Sea is 4-1. Iden is 11-2. Claymore 16-1. Forest of Dean 28-1. Lord North using this as a prep race again, probably to head out to Dubai for the Dubai Turf to try and make it four wins in the race, which should be pretty incredible. Rab Havlin taking the ride. Military Order actually ran the trial for this race here, finishing second behind Enemy. Tyrenian Sea, a really beautiful looking horse, won one at Lingfield last time. And Iden, I find really fascinating here. Andrew Balding, it switched from Roger Varian to Andrew Balding after last being seen fourth in the 2000 Guineas behind Caribus. This horse could be absolutely anything, stepping up and trip by an extra three furlongs. I'd be really interested to see how Iden gets on. I think he could be kind of the fly in the ointment here. But Robbie, you're going to tell me it's between the top two in the market probably, but your anti-postman column tells us you like one.
Yeah, I think it's between only one horse now. I don't fancy Lord North at all, to be honest. I thought the biggest threat was Lion's Pride, but he's not running. Yeah. I know he won this race last season, but it was at Lingfield. Lingfield's a much sharper track than Southall, I think. I mean, Gosden's been on record as saying it's not ideal that the race has moved locations. You go back to that, I know he won the Winter Derby well last year, but he's not facing a horse anywhere near as good as Military Order for me. I mean, this horse has got to run behind them. I thought he shaped well in the trial at Southall here in January. I mean, if you take out, I know Enemy's won it. Enemy's a bit of a weird one, but
I was going to say that.
You're saying the way he travelled was really caught my eye. I thought he shaped as if that would put him spot on for this. But he's beaten some good horses there, beaten much better horses than Lord North would have beaten in the last Winter Derby. Horses like the Foxes, Base Note. So I think I just think he wins Military Order, simple as that. I think that run would have sort of, because they're trying to transform him into a stayer after he flopped in the Derby. Let's not forget he went off 9-2 for the Derby last year. Brother to Adair. He didn't stay 1-6 at Chester. He wasn't right, but now he's sort of back on the comeback trail. He's got really good all-weather form. I think Lord North gets found out. And after all, Lord North is 8 now. He's eventually going to start regressing. I think this horse is probably right in his prime.
Okay, interesting. You've made a really, really good case there, Robbie, for Military Order. Would you just quickly on Lord North, would you be surprised then? You wouldn't be surprised if he was beaten here and then went to Dubai and ended up putting in a really decent display, or would you?
Yeah, I think it's so hard for horses to keep at the top at this sort of age. I think he'll get beaten. He'll probably run well in Dubai, but you'd like to think something is going to improve past him as a sort of 8-year-old. A Japanese-trained horse, I'd have thought, but doesn't preclude him from running well in Dubai. I'd just be against Lord North this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Japanese out in Dubai. Really frustrating last year with Danon Beluga for me, who finished second to him. And I still don't know how that happened. Brett Williams, who do you fancy here in the Winter Derby Stakes?
It's a good race, isn't it, actually? You know,
it is.
It's an interesting little contest. I agree with Robbie's thoughts on Lord North. You know, they get into the age of 8, they just take that little bit extra to get fit, and this won't be this isn't the main objective. Obviously the main objective is to try and win Dubai Turf over at Maidan again. So if he's going to be vulnerable, it will be today, and he's short enough at the rank sort of 6-4. He's actually 6-1 with Unibet to win the Dubai Turf. There's a decent each way price, I'd say, anyway. You very sort of hit the nail on the head there that Aiden, or however you want to pronounce it, is the real intriguing contender. We have seen a lot of support for this horse. Just talking to our traders about an hour ago, it was 14-1 when they opened the book on this, and it's now into 5-1. Strong, strong support. The interesting thing with that horse, yes, he hasn't ran for 665 days, but he was actually declared to run for Andrew Balding at Sandown last September, but was withdrawn on a vet certificate. So he's obviously been in training, albeit he's not actually been on the track. So it's been off a long time, but he has sort of been doing some type of work. So I wouldn't take that too literal. But Minotaur is, you know, I'd say the most likely winner of this race. If Lord North is going to get beaten, it will be today, and I would imagine it will be with the Military Order.
Okay, Military Order, a couple of votes there. I'm going to be with Iden. It'll be very tentative, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in the Winter Derby Stakes. We're going to be back with any other bets and also our weekend naps that are going to be boosted shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Robbie Wilders, Johnny Pearson and Brett Williams taking you through the weekend action. And we now get into the part of the show where we look at any other bets away from the ITV action. Johnny, I'll come to you. Anything elsewhere this week, or are you sticking to ITV?
I'd normally like having a bet in Ireland on a Saturday, but it's not the best of racing for the whole card. But one race of particular interest, especially following the Grand National weights being announced on Tuesday afternoon, is the Bobby Joe Chase at 350. There's four horses there. I think all of them have got entries for the National still. And, you know, it wouldn't be surprised to see an improved performance from one of them now their weight can't change ahead of the day in April. And Sunday's card at Nace looks, at the moment, it looks at entry stage looks good, but until the declarations are confirmed, it's not something I've been to get too involved with myself.
Okay, I hadn't actually seen the race of the entries at Fairy House, but yeah, that 350, the Bobby Joe Chase, the Grade 3 there, four horses, Iron Maximus, Fury Road, Manila Karuna and Vanilla, a fair old race there. That'll be an interesting contest to keep an eye on. Brett, anything away from ITV this week?
Yeah, Walking on Air in the 308 at Chepstow, the Potemkin qualifier. They were looking at going, well, he's had a couple of runs over the fences, but talking to Nicky for his Unibet blog, he says he just doesn't think he really enjoys jumping the larger obstacles. So he's back over hurdles. They need to get him qualified for the attempt, so he's got to finish in the first four. Whether he'll quite handle the ground conditions is a big question mark. Nicky doesn't like running too many horses at Chepstow. He's not a big fan of the track, but he managed to get this race in as a qualifier. So if he's gonna be considered for the attempts, he'd have to be going pretty well at Chepstow. So yeah, so Walking on Air, certainly of interest in that 308.
Okay, Walking on Air, the Per Temps Network Handicap Hurdle Qualifier. That's the 308 at Chepstow with James Bowen taking the ride for Nicky Henderson. And Robbie Wilders, anything else you've focused on this week?
No, not really, mate. I've had quite a lot of bets anti-post, to be honest. I'll have a couple more, but I don't think you should really be having more than 10 bets in a day, ideally. That's often when it goes wrong, so I'll sit tight. But I will be watching the Bobby Joe Chase closely because I'm on Chemical Energy and I'm Maximus for the National. That's always been a good trial for that. Vanillier, who was second in it last year and then finished second at Aintree. So be keeping an eye on that. But apart from that, Sam, that's all from me.
Okay, perfect. Let's get in to the weekend. Naps then, the best bets for the weekend ahead. I'll kick things off at Southall with Clarendon House in the Hever Sprint Stakes. I think this horse has got a right chance. Like I say, should be shorter in my opinion. But even money, it's not a massive price, but I'll be taking Clarendon House in 245 at Southall. Johnny Pearson, your nap this week?
It's going to be Gold Clermont in the Ida Chase at Newcastle. That's the 2:08 p.m. I think it will be too good for the rest of them at the weights and in the conditions.
Gold Clermont in the Ida Chase for Johnny. Robbie Wilders, your nap?
Yes, mate. 3:20 at Southall, Military Order. I think Lord North's a big lay there.
Yeah, I think we can tell Robbie's a big fan of Military Order there in the Winter Derby Stakes. And Brett Williams, your nap this weekend, please.
Yeah, we're going to Kempston in the 3:00, the Dovecote Novices Hurdle. Pinjari for Pawnee, because he's won the race 5 times before. 197 must have brought on soft ground last time. Good form with Go Dante and Doddy the Great. So Pinjari for me in the Dovecote.
Hey, Pinjari in the 3:00 at Kempston. For Brett, you can see those on screen now. These are going to be boosted from the time of upload, so you can get all of our naps boosted on the Unibet website, unibet.co.uk. Do check those out. Now, a big, big plug here. We finally announce our official Racing Post Cheltenham Festival preview show coming to you live on the 3rd of March, 7 p.m, live on the Racing Post and Unibet YouTube channels. Dave Orton, Paul Keeley, Tom Siegel, Unibet ambassadors Nico de Boinville and Nicky Henson, and of course Brett Williams, you'll be joining us. What can we expect, Brett?
Yeah, looking forward. Should be a really, really good night. Yeah, I've got Nicky Henderson will be on Zoom or Skype. Nico de Boinville is coming into the studio. I'll be having loads of offers as well. You know, obviously make sure that we'll be going throughout the whole of the preview. So yeah, lots of specials, offers, promotions, all available on unibet.co.uk. So now looking forward to it. You know, it's sort of quite an exciting time. And they've got a panel, you know, Tom Segal, Paul Keane. I'm sure they've got their opinions, and hopefully we can find a few winners among them.
Absolutely. Sunday the 3rd of March, 7 p.m. live on the Race Post YouTube channel and the Unibet YouTube channel. Really looking forward to producing that and hearing the thoughts of the panel this year. And that's it for this weekend's postcast. Thanks as always to Johnny Pearson, Robbie Wilders, and thank you to Brett. We'll have Ed back soon, I'm sure, on the show probably next week. And we're slowly getting there to Cheltenham. We've only got a couple more shows until Cheltenham Week officially hits us, so really looking forward to that. But as always, thanks for watching, get your comments in, and we'll see you again very soon.